others sleep on the love seat. Someone keeps saying I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt. Don't believe everything that you breathe. They get a parking violation and a maggot on your sleeve. So shave your face with some mace in the dark. Saving all your food stamps and burning down the trailer park. Yo. Cause one's got a weasel and other's got a flag. One's on the pole, shove the other in the bag. With the rerun shows and the cocaine nose job, the daytime crap of the folk singer's club. He hung himself with a guitar string, a slab of turkey neck, and it's hanging from a pigeon wing. But get right if you can't relate. Trade the cash for the beat, for the body, for the hate. And my time is a piece of wax falling on a termite who's choking on the splinters. So
Loser, and this is BFF.fm 1.21 gigawatts, where we dig into the past. And this time, Mr. Ben Ward is on the air with me.
Hello.
You are kind of indirectly responsible for this whole thing with your own show.
I'll take some of that. You have guested on Eclectic Kettle Tuesday nights at 8 p.m.
Yeah,
a number of times.
There you go. I was going to give you an opportunity, but you snuck in.
Well, that's the plug done. I'll see you in the week. And squash on Thursday.
Oh yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, great. Okay. Cool. See
you. Good night. What year did you pick for us?
I have chosen the year 1994.
And is that a special year, dear to your heart?
So 1994, I was 10 years old.
Yep.
And it's the year that I started. Listening to proper music.
As opposed to
you know, crap pop that you listen to when you're a young child.
Right.
It's around the time, it's maybe a year before I got a CD player from my parents for my birthday. Which I think was maybe a year later, and then the first CDs I ever bought were Blur's Park Life, and I guess it was Oasis's What's the Story Morning Glory, so that would definitely have been 95.
Right.
But yes, I bought Park Life because Dad insisted that it was better than The Great Escape, and kind of he's right. So I picked it because it's the year that I started as a 10-year-old started properly listening to music.
And it's been all downhill since then. Music never got better than 94.
I don't know that that's true, but I will say, and we can cover this as we go along, I guess, I was very pleasantly surprised by how much good music came out of the year.
For sure.
I was expecting sort of to just put together a set of Britpop nostalgia and a couple of other kind of random things, but actually, for the most part, really good.
Yeah. What do you have coming up in the next set?
Knowing that this is a time travel themed show,
right,
I thought I should I should do what any responsible discographer and disc jockey does, which is to give an accurate representation of
oh,
the
no.
year. Am I level still up?
Yep.
Okay. So obviously we should be playing this. And that is all of that I can bear.
thank you.
Love Is All Around by Wet 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 was top of the charts in the UK for, I believe, 3.5 months.
Isn't that against some sort of human rights, you know?
I think the Geneva Convention was written in response to this.
I see.
So basically, charts-wise, the year began with a novelty Christmas hit, Mr. Blobby, still number one.
I don't think that made it.
It's only in a 1 hour show. I don't have time to explain okay. Mr. Blobby, but Noel Edmonds has a lot to answer for.
Afterwards in the pub.
or just forget it happened.
Okay.
Then the entire middle of the year was taken up with Wet Wet Wet, which I think that was like the theme song from Four Weddings and a Funeral. And therefore, you know, Hugh Grant was at the height of his powers.
Right.
Or maybe that was his breakthrough. I don't even really recall. Anyway, people thought he was hot.
Yeah.
That was at number one forever. And then at some point, someone said, okay, we have to branch the universe. And we became like Earth B and started having new number ones. And then at Christmas, E17 had the Christmas number one with Stay Another Day, which is not actually really a Christmas song, but they made a sort of snow-filled video, and it does have like tubular bells over the top at the end.
You just add that on, and it's
thereby,
a Christmas hit.
Thereby ensuring that it is Christmas. Given the state of popular music that year, I went a little bit deeper. So I thought, you know, we've got the opportunity to play a few things that I, you know and like and bought. And then, yeah, there were a few sort of, you know, interesting developments from bands that we know today.
Oh, yeah.
So next up, you may be familiar with the beat combo Radiohead.
Yes.
hot off their breakthrough album Pablo Honey and international mega grungy miserable hit Creep, which they hated, they were working on music for their follow-up record The Bends, and they put out an EP, the My Iron Lung EP. My Iron Lung, obviously one of their most famous songs, that came out in 1994, and therefore also buried on there were a number of other very fine tracks from them, including this one, which is called The Trickster.
Rest in the asking to stay long enough for the clouds to fly on me away. Oh, it's my time coming, I'm not afraid to die.
Supersonic from Oasis. You may be familiar with that because it's one of the most famous songs of the 90s. It was released as their first single in 1994, and then the centerpiece of their debut album, Definitely Maybe. Also, if you are interested in, well, either Oasis or music generally, there is a new documentary entitled Supersonic.
Oh, yeah, I've actually seen that one. It's pretty good.
I watched it off of iTunes or Netflix or HBO or yep. I don't know, something on the telly box had it, and it's a nice little collection of the story of basically their early days up to the point where they played massive shows in Nebworth and probably should have split up. they did some songs after, but I was kind of like, in retrospect, like, maybe, you know, probably didn't need anything that came after it.
Fair enough.
Anyway, before that, we played Grace from Jeff Buckley, title track from his only properly recorded studio album, Grace. That was released in 94. Buckley, of course, died in slightly calamitous, tragic circumstances in 97 after touring the record for a few years and working on its follow-up. And was also a huge influence upon Radiohead, after their first record, who are there with The Trickster. And that was from their My Iron Lung EP.
Yeah, also a great song.
Yes, I genuinely like the little sort of soaring little break before the chorus there. I actually really, really like. It was nice to be able to sort of dig that out again, actually.
What do you remember what you were doing in 94?
If I was 10, Cambridge? I would have been finishing up primary school.
Oh, yeah.
So I would have been, you know, formative. finishing primary school, maybe, well, you know, finishing primary school, going to secondary school, I guess, would have been that year, I think. Maybe that was the year after. Anyway, something around there. Mm-hmm. You know, learning, starting to learn useful maths.
That you use today.
Genuinely, not to go deep on this, I've recently had needs to try to remember how statistical distributions work.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not things you learn when you're 10 years old in the UK, but more when I was 17.
Yeah.
Rusty, yep. I think, is the...
For sure.
It's kind of like, I remember the concept of some of them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think we need to use one of these.
Sprinkles.
Does anybody know how to do it?
Give me a young person with good memory.
Yeah, someone fresh out of school who hasn't forgotten all of their maths yet. but anyway, yes. So that was a nice little sort of slice into the sort of certainly very British-centric indie world. Obviously, Buckley was American, but he got worldwide success off Grace. And certainly once his Leonard Cohen Hallelujah cover broke around in 98 posthumously, he was like a big sort of fixture in sort of the British music scene alongside Radiohead and everything else as well. What I did do, because I know we are broadcasting from lovely sunny San Francisco, is a little bit of research into what the hell was going on in America.
Tell me.
In 1994. And it turns out the answer to that, or at least, you know, part of the answer to that, is this.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid? Am I just dumb? I went to a shrink to analyze my dreams. She says it's like a sex that's bringing me. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid?
Say it ain't so. Sorry, I suddenly swallowed. Excuse me.
Say It Ain't So by Weezer.
Thank you. From their self-titled debut, also, or more popularly these days known as the Blue Album. Other such hits on that, like Buddy Holly and the Sweater Song were both on there.
Yep. Are you dying?
No, I'm going to be good. Okay. I think we can do this break, and then I'm going to run and get some water.
Okay.
It's fine. It'll keep my timing tight, because they are... We're trying to fit a lot in after all.
Yep.
And then we opened up that little tiny little diversion into America with Green Day's Basket Case, which was on their major label debut record, Dookie. I think still their biggest selling record of all time.
Oh, yeah, I'm really surprised. I like that we were saying earlier that the Wikipedia page quotes the lists them as being from the East Bay, like the vast East Bay. It doesn't yes. really specify.
It's very you know how that thing where sort of those of us here in San Francisco will San Francisco is the city.
Yeah.
And then you basically just have North not San Francisco, East not San Francisco, South not San Francisco, and then Mexico below it.
Yep. That sounds about right. Sums it up.
Possibly LA gets a passing mention.
Honorable mention, yeah.
Well, maybe not honorable. But yes, Green Day, yeah, part of the whole sort of Californian punk revival scene, along with like Blink 182 and The Offspring and others who charted very well, certainly back in the UK when they all crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
Back in England, one of the seminal rap bands of all time released their debut. Portishead, whose first album proceeded to get played on, I think, every television drama ever, released Dummy with its many, many recognisable songs. Massive Attack, in similar world, released their second album, Protection. And so a whole load of quite interesting things sort of happened in that... not even sure what the correct genre. Like people,
trip hop.
I was thinking that, and I was one of those ones where it's like, isn't that just what people said, even though it wasn't? So the problem. This was the problem. One of the interesting things actually about thinking back to music from like my past when I was a kid, and therefore you would just be like, oh yes, it's trip hop because the music review magazine said it was.
Right.
Is realizing it's like, oh, now that I'm older and I know that genre is like bollocks. I wonder how they. How did they define themselves? If
that's
they
a good
even
question.
Did, and it's interesting
well,
doing.
Luckily, we have them on the line now.
Ah, Mr. Massive and Mr. Attack, how are you?
Which one's Attack and which one's Massive?
Wait, who? I was a Pink Floyd lyric.
Oh yeah,
I'm thinking of there. Which one's Pink?
Yep.
Anyway, so we're going to play because the nice thing about doing time travel show is that you don't have to. Always pick out obscure things like the Trickster. So next up is Rhodes by Portishead.
From this moment, how can it feel? Oh yeah.
Protection from Massive Attack, as we talk over the sound of San Francisco last week, basically, yeah. All that rainfall. Opening open track and title track of their second record, Protection, released in 94. And opening up, we played Roads from Portishead, from Dummy, their debut album.
And as we believe, that the album they're still living off of, that's the only income that we know of.
Well, I mean, I feel like all of the other records also pay them a bit, but yes, the presumably the TV royalties for Dummy have, you know, probably done them all right. We realised as we were talking, it's like, yeah, don't actually know what, you know, they're pretty infrequent with new records.
Yeah, yeah. Once every 10 years is good enough, ish.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I'd like more. given the weight we had for Third and given how good it was, kind of okay with that too.
Yeah.
And they did
one good song per year if you spread it out.
Yeah, and they did do Chase the Tear as a one off for Record Store Day probably three or four years ago.
I missed that one.
I have a copy on vinyl. It's very fine,
of course.
I think it's actually one of the. It must be. Maybe it's 4 years ago because I think I played it on my very first episode of Eclectic Kettle. when I was just, you know, getting to pick anything I wanted.
When you were just a young cub.
Yes, under Simon's wing.
Look at you now.
That metaphor. The metaphor doesn't massively work. It would be a very large bird with very large wings. But yes, they've not... They pop up every now and again, especially, you know, they're good charitable people, so they'll periodically
do. They also did the weird ABBA cover, like a year, 2 years ago.
Oh, they did. No, you're right, because we definitely played SOS after Brexit happened.
Oh, yeah, all right. It's a pretty good one.
It's
kind of haunting.
Yeah, in a haunting, terrifying kind of way. Indeed it is. But that wraps up 1994, pretty much. But for one song to play us out. How long do we have, by the way?
I think we're on time. Yeah, we have one more minute to talk. What do you want to tell me?
I should probably, you know, sign off and review and introduce what we're going to play. If there's a minute to go,
let's do it.
So I'm going to go sort of slightly, kind of back to the beginning a little bit, and back to my personal connections to the year. And we're going to play "This Is a Low," which is the best track on Blur's Park Life record. You know, it's not Girls and Boys or Park Life or any of the sort of super poppy ones that caught everyone's attention at the time, but it is a pretty staggering piece of indie rock music. All about the shipping forecast. So,
and thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Yeah. This has actually been super fun. It's nice to... One of the things I ideally love about BFF.fm is the way in which everyone's show has a sort of different concept.
Yeah.
And while Simon and I, with Eclectic Kettler at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays, you know...
That one you have to pay for.
Later. You know, we work on the concept of ripping off the evening session from BBC Radio in our youth.
Right.
You know, concepts like this, where it's like, okay, pick a year, or the listening party, which was like really great, like picked albums and worked from there. It's nice to take part in the variety. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, should we play out then?
Let's go for it.
All right. Well, this is from Blur's 1994 record, Park Life. This is a low.
Yeah.